in Surah Furqan, in the final ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about ibadah, about the qualities of Allah's beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is evident, it's a very great thing that this is mentioned in the Quran, Allah's objective to tell us that we read the Quran, we listen to the Quran, but those qualities that Allah has liked of His beloved people, who are the beloved people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Allah loves the most. It is evident that we need to try to bring these qualities in our lives, because this is Allah's order, that these qualities come into our life, that we also are included in amongst the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever Allah mentions stories within the Quran, they are a lesson for us. Meaning, whoever got punishments in the Quran, whoever got punishments as a result of their disobedience, because of any action that they done which is disobedient, displeasing to Allah. These stories in the Quran of these incidents, it is unfortunate that all these stories that are mentioned in the Quran, in various parts of the Quran, in various nations, all these things unfortunately have come into our being, within us, in our communities. This is the unfortunate thing. So as I was saying, in Surah Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the qualities of His beloved people. So Allah, these stories are for us so that these qualities, we can also make effort to bring these qualities into our being. For example, whatever stories have come in various parts of the Quran about various nations, these Allah gave these stories so that we can save ourselves from them sins and them punishments, that we also do not fall into that trap. So the Quran has told us that this guna has this punishment and such sin has this punishment. So Qawm-e Thamud, Qawm-e Nuh, various nations did various sins. Qawm-e Shu'ayb, the nation of Shu'ayb. All of these sins unfortunately have come into our nation, into our ummah. May Allah forgive us. May Allah save us. This is very dangerous. Allah will also punish us for these things, for these sins. So these qualities Allah has mentioned, alhamdulillah, this very great thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this direction. In amongst these qualities, in mentioning the ayat, Allah mentions there's one quality that Allah mentions about His beloved people. Allah mentioned about all of His beloved people. There's one quality that my beloved people are those. They have such a quality, they have such an action that Allah is so pleased with, that they do dua. They supplicate to Allah. And Allah has put that dua, Allah has included dua in that list of beloved people. Those people who make dua. Subhanallah. So dua is a great thing. But at least let's make this practice that let's start making dua, the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about today. Inshallah, everything else, Allah will also bring these qualities within us, the other qualities. The objective of us sitting here today is this. It is a very famous dua. You hear it often, you read it often, in many gatherings you also recite it. It is recited in gatherings. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa min zuriyatina. This is the dua. Just slightly longer than this. And it is a unique dua this is. From Allah's mercies. From Allah's blessings, it is a very unique dua. So the first thing is that Allah loves this dua so much. And because of this dua, Allah has made them people who recite this dua His beloved. Rabbana, hablana, min azwajina, min zurriyatina. So what does Allah say? What does a person say to his Rabb in this dua? Oh Allah, our women, our wives, our children, our, make them the coldness of our eyes. This is the first part of this dua. Subhanallah, what a beautiful dua. The beginning of this dua is, oh Allah, make our wives and our children the coldness of our eyes, the coolness of our eyes. Subhanallah. This is why after namaz, after salah, in majma, in gatherings, often this dua is mentioned because it's a very great dua. So this is the first part. Rabbana, Rabbana, hablana, min azwajina. And the second part of the dua is? What is being asked here, what we are asking Allah here, is, oh Allah, make our children obedient. Make our wives and our children the coolness of our eyes. What a beautiful worry, beautiful thing. What a beautiful sentence this is. The coolness of our eyes. The eyes is such a thing. For us, it does one thing. What does it do? What does it do? That it sees. That it sees things everywhere we look at things. This is what we believe, isn't it? That this is what we understand. The quality of the eyes. The eyes looks. If we get weak, we put on glasses. Yeah? So that we can see. But the eye, in Allah's created the eye such, in Allah's creation, amongst Allah's creation, the eye is such a thing that a person cannot reach the depths of its understanding. Because you all in front of me now, sitting in front of me, you all are looking at me. You all looking at me, aren't you? But the tongue speaks and expects and it makes expression and talks and communicates. This is a tool that Allah has given us, the tongue. Is it not? Whatever comes in the heart is on the tongue. But the tongue stops at one limit. At one point, due to haya and shame, or due to hurt, or due to many, many situations come about when the tongue stops and does not speak anymore. But the message has to get across. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the tongue is silent, then Allah gives the eyes to fulfill that deficiency. Every message that the tongue wants to give, that complete message, the eyes also give. Of love, of hatred, of acceptance, of rejection, of shamelessness, of shame, of love, of enmity, of greed, of pride. Every single quality that a person wants to communicate, if someone is looking at your eyes, he'll be able to read your eyes that message. The point where the tongue will stop and not say, express the full situation, but the eyes will express that feeling. You'll be able to see in someone's eyes, is he in this moment, is he happy? Or is he angry? Or what is his condition? So everything, every quality, the eyes shows at that time when the tongue ceases to speak or stops. So this is the quality of the eyesight. So this is a unique creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this eyesight. If you want to see someone's happiness, one poet said, if you want to see my happiness, then look at my eyes. If you want to see happiness, nothing else will show it except for my eyesight. What can, nothing is better than this. If you want to see how happy I am, then read my eyes. What is my state of happiness? So another poet said, so saying to the effect that sorrow is also expressed on the eyesight. When the tears fall from the eyes, this is a state of extreme grief and sorrow. Expressed when a person is in extreme grief, extreme sorrow, then tears start to fall from the eyes. So one poet said this, subhanAllah. One other poet said about the eyes, if you understand this message, that these eyebrows, I wish that my eyelids do not close so that I could continue to see you. Yeah, so this is one poet is saying that I wish that my eyelids do not close, that I could continue to see you. Such was an expression of love. When Rasulullah ﷺ went on Miraj, the eyes did not, you know, this poet is describing the time when Rasulullah ﷺ went to Miraj to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's saying, the poet that saying that Rasulullah ﷺ was in such a condition that they did not want to blink. Because what they were seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this discussion is going to another point. But this eyesight has a very great quality in it, has a great treasure in it. That it explains so many things, expresses so many things. Now in this dua, where Allah is saying that Ya Allah, make my children and my wife the coolness of my eyes. So what is the coolness of this eyes? That it is an extreme condition of happiness. That is the coolness of your eyes. So the Quran ayat is describing this dua, the extreme condition of happiness. So we are asking, Ya Allah, make my wife and my children so extremely well in their being. They should be so well, so happy that I'm looking at them and I'm happy to an intensity that has no measure. So the azwaj refers to the wives in this dua. So whenever we make this dua about the wives, so when the wife makes the dua, she remembers the husband. When the husband remembers the dua, he remembers his wife. It's not just that the husband is making this dua. When the wife also makes this dua, she should be referring to her husband and her children. Yeah. So it's for the women and also for the men, this dua. So make this dua. Say, Ya Allah, make my wife so good, so happy, so good in her manners, how so loving in her character, how, you know, you know, beautiful in so many characters, who looks after my home, who looks after my children. You are making this dua in this dua. It is a complete dua. It is a complete, you know, formula, this dua. That standard of a wife that I want from my wife, loving, obedient, and caring, and looking after the home, and someone who does ibadah and remembers Allah, who does zikr, who does all the great qualities of a person. Ya Allah, Rabbana, Qablana, Min Azwajina. Oh my Allah, make my wife so great in her akhlaq, in her look, in her beauty, in every aspect, make her so high that when I come and I see her, she is the coolness of my eyes. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Who we are, and who are we asking this dua to? We are asking this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who there is no shortage in His giving. And Allah says, this dua is so beloved to me. So if Allah is saying this dua is so beloved to me, then will Allah not accept this dua of us? SubhanAllah. So this is, Allah says, this is the dua of my beloved people. Those who are beloved to me, they make this dua to me. So all these fighting and tribulations, why are we not asking Allah this dua? What a great status this dua has, in which there will be no pain, you'll have no pain, that when you see your wife, that so much happiness, that we said that when the tongue finishes, the eyesight expresses the happiness, isn't it? So such is this dua, that when you recite this dua, that your tongue is stopped and your eyes are showing your happiness, or what you see. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make your wives and your children like this, inshallah. We give up so easily, oh, my wife will never be good. You know, or a woman makes, same thing though, for the woman. The woman makes dua, Ya Allah, make my husband loving. Make him one who spends upon me, who praises me, and likes me, and who accepts me, and listens to me when I ask. And when I see him, that he should, when I see him, he should be happy all the time, and he should never be stingy with giving me money, and he should be stingy in any matter. And when he never stops me from seeing my parents, and he always accepts whatever request I have, and whatever I want, anything that I ask, he asks, he gives me. Whoever remember, who also always remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who never looks to any other woman, who even never glimpses to anybody, who never talks to anybody, who never swears, who never slaps me, who never does any action, who never says anything, and always follows the sunnah, and always feeds me halal and sunnah food, and always drinks halal and gives me halal. So Hazrat Aisha, once Rasulullah said, Hazrat Aisha, where did you drink this water from a glass? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I drank from here. Rasulullah said, give me that glass, I'll drink from the same place. So let us make our wives, our husbands to be such, they also ask us this question, the where have you drank from? And I'll also drink from this point. This sunnah, to fulfill this sunnah as well. So our husbands should be so loving, and we should ask Allah this dua, that Allah make us our husbands like this. And when you make this dua, then it's such it will be, brothers, such will it be, oh sisters, that when your husbands enter the home, you will see this. When you see them, they'll be the your husbands will be the corners of your eyes, subhanallah. So the greatest sorrow that's given to parents is the children. They are the greatest sorrow. Ask that them parents whose children are disobedient. They are so much in sorrow. They are waiting in the night for their children to come home. They're looking out the window. Will my daughter come home? Will my son come home? It is 12 o'clock midnight and the son has not come home yet. And they're worried. And when they come home, they say, where have you been? And that child shouts and rejects their parents. This is then a sign of Qiyamah, that when the parents talk to the child and the child, you know, answers in a rude way, that none of your business. Who are you to ask me this question? Who are you? Go and mind your own business and leave me alone. I went somewhere. The daughter will say to the father, who are you to ask me? I went for such and such action. I went for such and such. None of your business. Oh Allah, save us from this. Eyes, tears fall from our eyes when we think about this situation. We've grown our children up from a young age. What a sorrowful state. What is this, rahmah? Can this be mercy? There'll be food in your home. Your home will be full of food. Dastakhan, you'll have a big dastakhan. You'll have big, big cars. And you've heard so much. But that person whose daughter is in such a situation, the heart explodes with sorrow. The heart explodes sorrow. And you are the mother, the father of this child. And how the mother and father hides this sorrow. She cannot even speak to anyone. She cheats. She lies to people, saying, no, my child. And someone asks, what is wrong with you? Oh, I've got a headache. Oh, I'm worried about something. Oh, I'm tired today. The mother, father will just hide their sorrow. But then they'll go into a corner and they'll cry. They'll cry that what has happened, what is happening to us. A person forgets all his own sorrows due to sorrow of his children. When your son and your daughter talks to you in this way, such is the sorrow that this has no comparison. Then what? Who are you? What do you want? Why are you speaking to me this? When a son talks to a father like this, hi, what is the situation of the father? How a heart explodes with sorrow. He cannot even ask his son, where have you been? Where did you go? Why did you come so late? Such a condition a person goes through, that Ya Allah, help me that my children can be the coolness of my eyes. How can they be disobedient? I don't want nothing in the dunya. He doesn't want anything in the world. He doesn't like anything. He doesn't want to see anyone. He doesn't want to speak to no one. He has no preference in any matter. He sits, he eats, he sleeps, but he's just a living dead because of his sorrow due to his children. All, be it son or daughter, if a person has one son or one daughter or four children, it has no, even if one child is disobedient, it's such a fitna, such a tribulation, there has no comparison. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa min zuriyatina. Allah says, raise your hands and ask me. Your disobedient son who speaks like this, your disobedient daughter who speaks like this, raise your hand and ask me, and I'm your Rabb. I am your Rabb. I will make him the coolness of your eyes. Subhanallah. What a great Amazing guarantee Allah is giving. Allah is saying, this is the dua of my beloved. Whatever, because this is the dua of my beloved, because of them, through their sadaqah, through their benefit, I will accept your dua as well. Subhanallah. So whoever asks this dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we ask? The coolness of my eyes. And when did this come? When will your son, when will you be happy when you see your son? When you see that he is obedient, he is deendar, he has good akhlaq, he fears Allah, he obeys your, what you say, and alhamdulillah, when you see him, he's well, he's in good health, and he's happy, he is not in worry, he has no problems, he's happy in his home, he's happy with his wife and his children, he has no arguments, he has no health, he has no illness, every aspect of him, he's healthy, he has good iman, he has strength, he has money, he has good manners, he has good, you know, good relations with people, he has good meeting with people, he has no arguments with anyone, he has no enemy to anybody. Such is his character. He has no, owes no debts to anyone, he has not betrayed anyone, meaning he's a complete protected person. Subhanallah. You're asking Allah, Ya Allah, make my son like this. Subhanallah. This is what this dua is. You're asking deen and you're asking dunya. This dua has both things in it. It has the dunya and the deen. It has both formulas, both great treasures within this one dua. My brothers, this comes from the dua. These things come from dua. These duas go to Allah's arsh. When a person recites from his heart, there's so much, such a great link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when a person, as soon as a person raises hands, the angels, they also say, Ya Allah, accept this dua of this person. Subhanallah. So great are these duas. Ask Allah, brothers, ask from Allah. Ask Allah in the morning, in the evening. Ask Allah after dhikr. Ask Allah after salah, after fard. Every excuse, make a two-nafal prayer and ask after that prayer. But oh, with great sorrow I say, that after hearing this, after knowing this, even after raising our hands, we are raising our hands, but our tongues are saying something else, and our heart is saying something else. Because we don't have the certainty, we say, Ya Allah, we're making this dua, but we don't think this is going to happen. Oh, we're going to have to take it to some magician, or some jinn master, or someone who will do jadu, someone's done magic, sorcery on my son, on my daughter, or someone has turned the tasbih this way, or done such and such thing, and or someone needs, we need to go to a taweez, or a, someone from someone, or we need to do some sort of special magic, or go and see some person like this who does black magic to go and help us. My brothers, taweez is correct. There's nothing wrong with taweez. In taweez, there is Quran, ayahs of Quran. What is a taweez? Taweez is the ayahs of Quran. There are so many blessings in taweez. Even a person writes with his hands, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, there's so much barakat in that, that will be sufficient. My Hazrat, who whenever he used to ask, when he used to ask for taweez, and they should often mention, Hazrat Tuan Tanwir Abdullah mentioned, that regarding taweez, that Hazrat Tanwir mentioned, that if you think, whether you write or you don't know, they do not write a taweez, the shafa will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's no harm in writing, or there's no benefit, because that it is the shafa, the correction will come through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my shaykh would speak very little. So when a person would come, he would ask, a person would come. So Hazrat, would you think that if this person comes to me for taweez, if I don't give him taweez, he will go to the wrong person with the wrong intention, who is a shaitani person, who will take money from him and write taweez. Therefore, I make dua, Ya Allah, this person has come to me for taweez. I know shafa is only in you. I'm writing this taweez for this person. I'm writing this dua, and I'm giving this taweez, but the intention is pure, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you, instead of this person going to the wrong person, I'm giving this taweez, that you, Ya Allah, it is only your power that will correct this matter. So I'm giving this dua, this taweez, in this intention, and then I give him the taweez. So this is the intention. So taweez is a written dua. What is taweez? It is a written dua in writing. So a friend of Allah, you got a friend of Allah for a taweez, what is he doing? Either he could raise his hands or he could write it for you. But in effect, the friend of Allah says, Hazrat said, that actually the dua which is by raising the hand reaches Allah quicker. This is the reality. So the hand, the raising the hand is better than to write the taweez. Yeah? But the fact is, this is also a dua. And in dua, there is the rahmah. There is the treasure of Allah's rahmah. So, the ulad, the children are rahmah for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing in the dunya and the hereafter that cannot be achieved through dua. There's nothing in the world, in the heavens and earth, that cannot be achieved through dua, my brothers. You can see everything you want, wherever you want. You want corners of your eyes for your wife and children to be the extreme extent of happiness. If you want the extreme extent of happiness from your wife, from your wives, and from your children, from your sons and your daughters, what do you do? With certainty, recite this dua. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina. Do you understand this, my brothers? Wajalna muttaqina imama. The next part of this dua. The second part of this dua. Wajalna muttaqina imama. What is it? Iman. What are we talking about? Iman here. This part of the dua is referring to a rich person. Imama. Referring to someone who is rich, who is a leader. Like Amir of the Muslims, like some country where there's an Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's a leader, he's the Imam. He's the Imam of the community. In the same way, if there's an officer in a certain department, he is the leader of that department, he's the manager, he's the Imama. In the same way, in a madrasa, the teacher who is teaching, for the students, the teacher is the imama, he is the amir. A jamaat, a collection of people. There's one person who's the elder in that jamaat, he is the imama. So for every group, every situation, where there is a group of people who are followers, their leader is the imama. He is their leader. So that is his title. Just like in a masjid. The person who leads the imam salah, he is the imam sahib. Why? Because he is leading the salah of the muttaqis, the followers. He is leading the salah. So in this case, they are the followers, they are the muqtadis, and he is the imam. In the same way, if a person has a following, he is the imam. So, in the same way, within the home, in the same way, the father is the imam of the children. He's also the imam. The elder brother, he's also the imam of the younger brothers. Because he has younger brothers. So whoever is the oldest, he is the imam of the group. So in our complete society, the imam is in different categories. You will find a imam under which there is a following, a group of people. So that person is the leader and he will give the directions and the people will follow his direction. So you will tell the people under you, to do such and such, and they will follow you. And the other thing, so they will you become the imam of the imam. And they will have to follow you. In the same way, the father is the imam. The senior member of the family is the imam. These are all imams. So what is being said in this dua? وَجَعَلْنَا مُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Subhanallah, what a beautiful thing. He's saying this dua. That whoever is asking this dua, in whatever situation he will be an imam. He will be a father, whatever he will be. He will be masjid, the imam of the masjid, or be a sheikh, or a leader, spiritual leader. Whoever, whatever level he is making this dua, this will be a general situation for all of them cases, that the imam will be making this dua. وَجَعَلْنَا مُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Why is he making this dua? Why is he asking? When you are making this dua, what you are saying? We are making this dua. What we are saying? Why is he saying? What is he saying in this dua? Ya Allah, that whoever are my followers, make them my true followers. وَجَعَلْنَا مُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Whoever is under my jurisdiction, whoever is under my following, under my responsibility, make them true followers of mine. Subhanallah. This is the second part of this dua. So whoever is making dua for the people who is below him, he's making, Ya Allah, make them muttaqi. Make them obedient. Make them followers. So an imam, when he's making dua, Ya Allah, whoever is behind me, make them good, true followers. Make them, just like a sheikh is making dua in his gathering, he's saying, Ya Allah, the people who have come here, make them all muttaqi. Make them all true followers. So this dua, when a person is making this dua, it is evident that when an imam is making this dua, be it on the day of Jummah, these are the moments of acceptance. Jummah. So the imam is making this dua. Ya waj'alna muttaqina imama. What is he saying? Ya Allah, whoever's come here for Jummah today, in this moment of acceptance, Ya Allah, in this moment of acceptance, make all the people here followers. And what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them such. Subhanallah. Every single person they will become muttaqi. Subhanallah. These are the moments of rahmah. The night of Jummah we are in today. And this is a gathering of zikr. And we were sitting here zikr. If we make this dua in this gathering, that Ya Allah make all these people muttaqi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this dua on these great moments that we are gathered here today. So does Allah not give? So as you see, my brothers, what a great way Allah has, great treasure Allah has given in this dua to whoever is under that person, under his responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept this dua on their behalf. Subhanallah. What a beautiful point. So one point comes in. Ya Allah, one question. Subhanallah. Yes, we accept Allah that I'm making this dua for those people to make them followers. But what benefit do I get, Allah? Imam is making dua. Ya Allah, make these people followers. What benefit did the Imam get from this? Sheikh is making dua. So Ya Allah, make this. What benefit did the Sheikh get from asking for the following of the followers? What benefit is there for the person who is making the dua? It's a question. A person could have this question in his mind. What benefit do I get? These people will become disobedient. That I made dua for them. 1,000 people came for Jummah. 1,000 people came for Jummah. And I made dua for them. And they've all been accepted, Ya Allah, by you. Whoever is listening to this, people are sitting this online. Many people listen to this talk of mine. And Allah, through His rahmah, will forgive all of them. You have certainty in this, do we not? Do we have a certainty, brothers? Speak loudly, brothers. Do we have acceptance in this? Of course, Allah will accept. Have certainty in Allah, brothers. Have certainty. We must have full certainty to which there is no limit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept this dua. That's what we have to have. I think that whatever little bit namaz we pray, we save ourselves from a little bit of sins. This is the blessing of this dua. Trust me, this is the blessing of this dua, that we have a little bit of ibadah with us. Otherwise, what status do we have to do ibadah? From Allah? It must be some pious person, somebody made this dua for us. Maybe some masjid we went to read Jummah, and the imam that he made the dua, and we all said Ameen. Must be we were somewhere. That as a result of that dua of the imam, they said an effect on us, that we have something, little bit, some good actions in us. Subhanallah. So this is not a small thing. Subhanallah. There's one story in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One sahabi came. Imam Nabawi rahmatullahi writes it in his book. He says, it was a time of the morning, a person came. Just like they came, a person came. The Sahaba Ikram said, and the Rasulullah ﷺ got worried, changed. That a group of people came that was so poor in their view, that they're so poor looking, that person could not even look at them. They were naked to a certain extent. Their heads were naked, their bodies were naked to an extent. And there was so little bit of garment they had on them, just with difficulty did they cover their satr. A group of people like this entered the masjid. They had nothing in their stomach. They were so hungry, such state of hunger. The Sahabi said, when we saw these people enter the masjid, that when we saw them, Rasulullah ﷺ changed their face when they saw these people. And we Sahaba got so worried looking at them when they entered in. And we were so worried by looking at Rasulullah ﷺ. The way Rasulullah ﷺ looked by looking at them people. Rasulullah's face changed looking at this group of people as they entered the masjid. Subhanallah. So Rasulullah said, O Bilal, give the azan. The azan was given, the salah happened, and Rasulullah came onto the member and sat on the member and said, recite a surah from Surah Hashr. And after reciting that surah, they said, O Sahabis, who has anything, if you have cloth, if you have anything, you have money, do sadaqah. If you have dinar, give dinar. If you have dirham, give dirham. If you have silver, give silver. If you have gold, give gold. If anyone even has a little thing, even a person has a date, bring it forward with sadaqah. Within a short period, a sahabi came forward with a bag, with a heavy bag, full of. It was so heavy, the bag, that he could not carry the bag. His hand was dragging across the floor with that bag. He put the bag there. Then the other sahabi, they also started coming forward. And everyone started bringing stuff, goods from their homes. To such an extent, on one side there was food, a mountain of food. And on one side there was a mountain of other goods. Sahabi said, when we saw that Rasulullah changed so much like gold. Rasulullah's face changed, subhanAllah. The example that how gold shines. You know, Rasulullah's face changed with happiness. Then the Ansari Sahabi, Rasulullah looked at an Ansari Sahabi and said, I'm giving you the meaning of this hadith, that whoever comes into Islam as a result of any good action, and if someone follows him, subhanAllah, whoever takes the first action in doing a good deed in Islam, whoever takes the first step in doing a good action, he'll get the reward. But not only that, the person who takes the first step, so that Ansari who bought the first bag dragging across the floor, Rasulullah looked at him and said, whoever does the first action to bring something forward, and then other people follow, that person who did the first action, he gets the reward of that, and he gets the reward for all of them people, subhanAllah. So, subhanAllah, what a beautiful hadith. So that person who makes dua and does the first step to make the dua. So when you make dua for that person, so this is the answer to you asking that the person who is making a dua, what benefit will he get for the followers? This is the answer, my brother, subhanAllah. That a person makes, if you make dua, you are dalna muttaqina mama, to make my followers obedient. Whenever that obedient person, when he goes for hajj, when he goes for umrah, when he goes to pray salah, whatever good action he's done, the reward that he gets will come to you, subhanAllah. So if your wives, if you're making dua for your imam, you're making dua for your wives, for your children, with certainty, and they become good, then their good actions will benefit you, subhanAllah. So this is the effort to give dawah to them, to give dawah to our children, to give dawah to our wives, and to make this dua certainty. But the acceptance is Allah's hands. And it will be even if they come on the path or not, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, this will be a great benefit for you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, this dua, that you made this dua for them. SubhanAllah. My brothers, there are many, many treasures, alhamdulillah. Allah has many treasures. There's no shortage in Allah's treasures. But we just take this one dua. How much we can get from this one dua? Imagine this, how much. Today we've heard this dua so many times. Today we've have understood the beauty of this dua. The great friends of Allah, they'll make this their habit to make this dua all the time. Whenever anyone came for anything, they'll say, make this dua. Because in this dua, the dua is, Ya Allah, make my wife good. So if someone came for nikah, Rasulullah would make this dua. Because if you make this dua, and Allah accepts it, then obviously it's evident that you're going to get married. Because at one time you're going to have a wife, and Allah also, the benefit will be that wife will be obedient to you, subhanAllah. If everyone's child is disobedient, make this dua. If you have an argument in the home, read this dua. If you have an issue with rizq, make this dua. Go to a friend of Allah and ask him, that can I recite this dua? Will you make this dua for me? Or maybe have permission from someone to recite this dua morning, evening, all the time. Make it part of your wazif to recite this dua. May Allah give you us all tawfiq, and what you've heard, that we all practice upon this. And also listen, my brothers. Listen to one thing, my thing, brothers. That just like I've told you this point of, if someone's given you some benefit and told you a good thing, 1,000 people at Jummah, or a few hundred people somewhere, or 50 people, when this benefit passes on, then the people who hear, whoever's heard, and those people who acted upon this, both of them, the reward will go to that person who shared this good thing. So never be stingy in the matter, in telling people good things. Never be stingy in telling people good things. Even if you have to take difficulty, make effort, make effort, struggle to pass good to other people. Because when they do amal on that good thing, when they practice that good thing, then the reward will come to you, subhanAllah. So never give up. Never give up. Always stay firm. Whether people come, don't come, people don't listen to you, don't worry. Even if you've got trials and tribulations, stand firm on this word of passing good to others. And be firm on this work of telling good to others, making people have good actions and good amal, so that you can get Jannah and they can also have Jannah. So light gives light to other people. Today, if I did not meet my Shaykh, I'm such a useless person. What quality have I had? What quality do I have to sit in front of you people? So in the same way, brothers, you make effort. What zikr has been given to you is no little thing. What benefit, what zikr and you have been given to do. If you grab hold of this, not only that you need to do it yourself, you need to pass this on to others. You need to bring yourself to that status, that you can also be the ability to pass it on to others. There's very little time, brothers. Don't waste this time. We're wasting the time in the dunya and the trials and tribulations, the ups and downs. But if we put our time into this thing, into correcting ourselves and making our own status correct, so why have you come here today? You have come here today? I have not come here to tell you the masail of salah. I have given you the ilmi ludni. I'm telling you that knowledge which is how to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge of ma'rifah. The knowledge. Do you want to gain this knowledge, brothers? Alhamdulillah, it's a great, great treasure. Great, great treasure. Make dua. We must make the dua Allah. That give us the ability that we can pass this on far away to every alley, to every road. My Allah, my Shaykh ordered me to go to every single alleyway, every street, every community, every person, and pass on this zikr of Allah, to pass it on to the people. Every place, and every city, and every town. I have it written in my Shaykh wrote to me, and I have a book of Hazrat who wrote this book. It's been published in Pakistan. Someone wrote a book about the letters my Shaykh wrote to me. And one of these letters my Shaykh wrote to me and said that you must do this. So my request to you, brothers, that you must also have this in you, this desire. These are 4 days of life. Why don't we waste it? Why don't we use it in a good thing? Why are we wasting our time in all these other things? Make a target in your life, in your week, that this week I'm going to bring such and such person to zikr. I'm going to definitely invite this person to zikr. Make a target. This week I'm going to invite such and such and such. I'm definitely going to invite this one person to zikr. If you make this intention, this will be, you get so much reward. We're going to go into the grave. But when we go to the grave, that if he practices on what he learns, the person you invited him to zikr. He came to the Gane of zikr. He listened to some words. You'll even forgot about him. You'll be in the grave. You'll have died. You forgot that Yoshi one day gave this person dawah. But you say, Ya Allah, how did I get this maqam in the grave? How did I get this reward? And Allah remind you that such and such time, such and such person, you invited him to zikr. He came to the gathering. He, through listening to them words, he changed himself. He became obedient. And through his good deeds, that you are getting this reward in the grave. SubhanAllah. Brothers, make intention that we will do this. That we'll make effort. Make a target that we're going to invite this many people. That we're, inshallah, we're going to call people, invite people to the zikr. We want to such and such person to come and meet Hazrat Sahab, to come and have tea, learn zikr. We're going to invite this person. And we need to bring these people to such and such place. What will happen? That person, whether he comes or not, whether that person comes or not, whether zikr he comes or not, whether he comes or not, you will get the full reward. Will you do this, brothers? Inshallah, we must make intention of this. Morning and evening we do so many things. Today we are worried, morning and evening worried about work and this and that. Have we eaten? We've gone to the toilet. We've done eaten food. Then we've gone to sleep. Then we get up, go to work. Go to the toilet, eaten, slept, same old cycle of life. Have some balance in our lives, brothers. Have some balance. I'm just telling myself that we all our lives, every day, we earn the dunya, at least do a little thing, have something for the akhirah. At least have something that we can benefit us in the akhirah. Our full efforts are on the other way. But make some sorrow. All the sorrow we have is that we have money, 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 money. How can we make more money? Make more money. How can we make 1 million, but we want 2 million? Oh, but we want 3 million now. This is our situation. This is dunya. It's going to finish, brothers. But where will our amal, what will be that continue? What will be the wealth that will stay with us even when we die? Think about the wealth that we'll take with us into the grave. The sadaqah jariyah, that wealth which will continue forever is to teach people good things. I make dua to whoever is here, the next week everyone brings someone with them, inshallah. Either there's a child. Even if you bring a child, next week you bring a child, the following week, inshallah, you'll bring an elder, inshallah. Such a great thing to invite others. And the greatest dawah is to those people who are far off the path, who are far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the tabliq. When a person sits in the gathering of zikr, Allah opens his heart. Allah brings love in his heart. It's a beautiful dawah, this is, brothers. To give dawah to people to zikr is a beautiful dawah. Because you are not going to do nothing. You don't have to do wudu. Even the most ignorant person, bring him to the masjid. He might be a very sinful person, may do many, many different wrong things and sins. Say to him, come, let me bring you, show you in front of a great gathering. And he'll say, no, I don't want to come. No, let me drink, have my spliff first. Let me smoke my cannabis. You say, no, smoke your cannabis, finish your cigarette, and then come with me. And drag him into that. Even if you bring him in that situation, that he's a drug addict, who's a sinner, and you bring him to this gathering, whoever that person is, bring them people into the masjid. Bring him to Allah's house. This is our duty, my brothers, our farz, to save these people, to bring these people into Allah's house. And we sit in the zikr ourselves, and we just take enjoyment, and we take in jannah from zikr, and then people are on the street, they don't know nothing. And who's going to care for them? There are so many people who don't even know nothing. So people look at us and think, and they come to namaz, and they come to masjid, and they see us doing zikr, and they wonder, what are we doing? What are these people doing zikr? They don't even know what we are doing. So we have to invite these people. It's our responsibility to share with them. If we start thinking we are Junaid Baghdadi or some great sheikh, that we put the imam on our heads, we're doing Allah, and we don't need to talk to anybody now. We just stay silent and sit in the masjid and do our zikr and ignore everybody. This is not the situation. We don't even shake hands with people. Great sheikhs. They don't even shake hands with people. What is this? Shake hands with people, meet people, invite them out from the street, drag them in, make friends with the people in the street. Everywhere you go, invite people to Allah's house. Is this not what we need to do? And then go on tabligh. Go on 40 days. Go on 4 months with tabligh jamaat. Go to markaz. Do everything. We're not just saying just to invite to zikr. Go everywhere. Go to with the brothers who do tabligh. Go with them. Go on Thursday night. If they do, go to markaz. There's nothing to stop us. But when it comes to these gatherings, to gathering of zikr, then like birds come and gather in these gatherings of zikr as well. So wherever you hear that a sheikh, your sheikh, or someone is gathering zikr, then fly to that place as well. Because that is a special event, a special place. Of course you need to do 40 days and 4 months and go around the world and do the work of the bleak. Yes, we will do this. But when we come, let's also come to the gathering zikr and get these blessings. So this is the great dua. I'm saying, Allah saying, the benefit of this dua is to who? Is that when you make this dua, وَجَلْنَا مُتَّقِينَ imama, making this dua, you're making dua for all the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Amen.
Salli ala Muhammad, na kahe phir anbiya. Salli ala Salli ala Muhammad, arsh se aati hai sada. Salli ala Muhammad, anil nur jamal ke wariya. salli ala Muhammad, salli ala Habibina, salli ala Shafi'ina, salli ala Muhammad. Abu Khuda Nijab kaha, salli ala Muhammad. Abu Khuda Nijab kaha, salli ala. Kyun na kahe phir anbiya, salli ala Muhammad. Noor e jamal e kibriya, salli ala Muhammad. Salli ala Habibina, salli ala Shafi'ina, salli ala Tabibina, salli ala Muhammad. Salli ala Habibina, salli ala Muhammad. Aur bhejte hain sada daru Vaishutayur insu jin, bhejte hain sada daru Vaishutayur insu jin. Hai kitni ajeeb cheez hai qalb ho jisse mutmain, aur chahiye gar nijaat to padhiye zarur raat din. Salli ala Habibina, salli ala Muhammadin, salli ala Habibina, salli ala Muhammadin, salli ala Nabiyyina, salli ala Muhammadin, salli ala Habibina, salli ala Muhammadin.